spend some time. The work that I'll be talking about today is done in collaboration with Nick Doherty at Cambridge University UK, Tim Hollowood, Swansea University, also in UK, Wales, and Jose Luis Miramontes at Santiago de Compostela in Spain. Okay, so I'll try to start off with some motivation and for this project, and also a brief essentially outline of the results. And then I'll try to go into a bit more detail about the concrete models, four-dimensional supersymmetric models that I will be looking at. Okay, so essentially since Tuft realization that the perturbative expansion of SUN gauge theories in the large N limit could be recast in the form essentially of a weakly coupled closed string expansion, where you, of course, when you take this limit, you consider you keep the Tuft coupling just square mu times N fixed. There has been lots of interest in trying to find concrete examples of a duality between gauge systems in the large N limits and string models, essentially with the hope that this duality could teach you something about questions that cannot be addressed on the field theory side using perturbative techniques like confinement, chiral symmetry breaking, stuff of this sort. In this proposed duality, essentially the closed string coupling G string is proportional to 1/n. And in the strictly n to infinity limit, you find that the stable Grubel, the Grubels of the field theory become stable, and they are associated, they become the excitations of the string. Okay, so as string theorists, we know of several non-trivial examples of this duality. ADSFT was the real breakthrough in this respect. But there are also interesting examples of this scenario for confining models. And essentially, even though we can learn a lot from these models, there are usually some drawbacks, essentially due to the fact that the concrete string theory is usually a compactification of 10-dimensional superstring theory. And this causes some issues. In particular, there are usually some Ramond-Ramond fluxes in your geometry. And we don't yet know really how to quantize efficiently string theory in the Ramond-Ramond backgrounds. Okay, so we learned a lot even through the supergravity approximation. But usually, even supergravity can have its own issues, essentially because due to the compactification, there are some Kaluza-Klein states in the theory that you cannot really decouple from the modes that couple to the field theory modes. So there are quite some technical problems there. And what I would like to talk about today is an example of essentially a large N limit of a partially confining theory where some of these hurdles can be avoided. Essentially, I would propose that in this particular limit that we'll be talking about in more detail later, the dual string theory background has no Ramond-Ramond flux, and it is also actually exactly solvable in the sense that you know how to solve the world sheet theory to all orders in alpha prime in principle. Okay, and also we will see that the dual string coupling can be actually made small in a certain way, and I will show you what in detail what this will mean. And in particular, this will be achieved not simply by the usual large N Tuft limit, but I will have to consider a large N limit in conjunction with a certain limit of in my parameter space of the theory, hence the name double scaling limit. And in this double scaling limit, I will consider certain parameters to be fixed, and we'll see what these parameters are and what their physical meaning is. From a technical point of view, this large N double scaling limit will map to a certain matrix model double scaling limit. You will see why in a second. And it's interesting that this matrix model double scaling limit is totally analogous to the kind of matrix model double scaling limits that people were considering in the essentially late 80s early 90s to study string theory in dimension equal to 1 or less than 1. Okay. So the concrete four-dimensional supersymmetric models that I'll be looking at are essentially n equal to 1 superior means with gauge group un, with the addition of a chiral adjoint field phi with a trivial polynomial superpotential, w phi. Okay, so in the Toft limit, I wrote down this this polynomial with an overall with an overall coupling outside epsilon, and essentially this to be consistent, when you do the Toft limit, we will take epsilon to scale like n, and the coupling is inside to scale like to be of order 1 in the large n limit. So semiclassical vacua of this theory correspond to essentially assigning eigenvalues of this matrix phi to the stationary points of this superpotential. So you're solving w prime of phi equal to 0, and you're scattering essentially eigenvalues between these of phi between these stationary points. This will lead to essentially a Higgs mechanism where you break the overall gauge group un to a bunch of unis. And essentially, the law is that the SUN part of each of these UN subgroups will actually confine. So you will find some non-trivial condensates for the fermions here. And you're left over with essentially an abelian gauge group, lots of photons. Okay, in the same for M of these subgroups UNI, you find M of these photons. So in particular, I will be looking at vacua with no mass gap, really, because there will always be these massless photons around. But there is partial confinement in the sense that each of these SUN subgroups will confine. Okay. So in general, if you had to look at the Toft large n limit of these models in this for generic vacuum, what you will find is the conventional story, conventional weakly interacting blue balls. Here there is there are more possibilities in the sense that you can have some baryons in your spectrum which are built out of essentially of some, once you do this Higgs mechanism, the off-diagonal components of this field phi behave like quarks that transform under the fundamental of a certain UN and the anti-fundamental of another UN. And using these die quarks, you can do intersymmetric combinations and build die baryons. These die baryons can be either electrically or magnetically charged with respect to these UNs. And usually they will have a mass of order n. This is the usual, in the large n limit, baryons usually have mass of order n or even larger. Okay, so this is the usual story, but I will be focusing. We'll see that essentially I can find this nicer string dual if I focus on certain very specific vacua, where essentially I can close to this vacua, the mass of a certain number of these dibaryons can become arbitrarily small. Okay, we will see that essentially when I get close to this vacua, the low energy effective description of the theory can break down. In particular, we see that the 1 over n expansion will break down. And in particular, the group ball interactions will not be suppressed in these close to this vacuum. Okay, but the kind of, let's say, singularity that you will encounter can be actually cured if you consider not only the regular large n limit, but you do a double scaling limit. So you send n to infinity, you approach these special vacuum in your parameter space in such a way that you keep the mass of these dibaryons fixed. If you do this procedure, we will see that essentially the interactions of the low energy degrees of freedom will, a part of these low energy degrees of freedom, will be weighted not by the usual G-string coupling proportional to 1 over n, but by a G-string effective that is essentially is inversely proportional to the mass of these dibaryon states. Okay, and Okay, just to tell you what the dual is, even before I tell you how it can come about, I will propose that the dynamics of a certain sector of the theory in this large N double scaling limit has a dual non-critical string description given by this string background. So the term non-critical simply means, refers to the fact that this coset here, this SL2 module 1 coset has a non-trivial linear dilaton profile, which is exactly linear asymptotically. So that's what non-critical means. There's a non-trivial linear dilaton profile. And these other guys and this orbifold action that you need to take are simply details of the kind of singularity that I will be considering. But essentially, the most important player in this non-critical background is this cigar, which is actually also dual to an n equal to 2 super Liouville Wilshire theory. Okay, so T is the tension of the confining string. So here I need to make a dimensionless number. So. Okay, so how do I do calculations? Well, what kind of calculations is this duality proposal based? So after the work of Cacciato-Vaff, there has been a non-trivial, procedure, non-trivial results that tell you that the F terms of this n equal to 1 theory can actually be calculated exactly by considering a certain auxiliary matrix model. Okay, so let's step back for a second. The statement is that you start with a certain three-level polynomial superpotential, let's say for this chiral joint field phi. And the statement is that you can calculate the exact effective superpotential. You can know everything, for example, about the vacua of the theory and all the quantum corrections to this vacua. By essentially calculating this function f0 that you see here. Okay. So the statement, and the NLs are simply the ranks of these subgroups that you're looking at. Okay. So this f0 is actually the free energy at genus zero, the planar free energy of an auxiliary matrix model. And let's say the recipe tells you that if you start with a certain polynomial superpotential W3, you're instructed to use the same function here, W, and phi hat is not to be confused with this chiral joint field phi, but it is essentially a matrix. And you're also instructed to take a certain the size of this matrix to be very, very large. Okay, so we'll not go too much into details here, but essentially, what I will do is try to solve exactly the matrix model, this matrix model with a certain choice of superpotentials. And I will be looking at, in particular, at vacua, exact vacua of the theory, by essentially tweaking, if you wish, the superpotential couplings. I will be looking at certain vacua where I can achieve a singularity of the low energy effective action. And this singularity of the low energy effective action will correspond to a singularity of the matrix model spectral curve. So let me say a few words about what the matrix model spectral curve is. Okay, so we are considering a particular Higgs vacuum of the theory where you scatter a certain number of eigenvalues of phi. Where you put certain eigenvalues of phi to be at the stationary point of the superpotential, of the classical superpotential. So what this means from the matrix model point of view is that you should consider a certain number of eigenvalues of this auxiliary matrix phi hat to be around the stationary values of the classical superpotential. Okay, when you consider then the size of this matrix to be very, very large, what happens is that these eigenvalues effectively develop a repulsive interaction between themselves. And essentially, so what you get is not simply that you put in your eigenvalue x at the value w prime of x equal to 0, But due to this repulsive interaction, these eigenvalues will actually spread on the complex plane and form cuts, branch cuts. And essentially, what this tells you is that there will be a non-trivial, let's say, quantum deformation to the classical curve, which is simply this. So to be concrete, I will show you, let's see. I will show you an example of a curve for a quartic superpotential, which has three possible stationary points. I mark with this seesaw thing the cuts around these three stationary points. And this picture has more details. This essentially this A, B. Here I'm also denoting certain cycles of this spectral curve. Okay, but this is to give you an idea, and also to give you an idea of the kind of singularities that I'll be looking at. For example, I'll be consider vacua and tweak the superpotential couplings in such a way that, for example, three of these branch points of the spectral curve can become arbitrarily close to each other. So from a geometrical point of view, a certain number of cycles of this spectral curve will actually become zero size. And this will have the physical meaning that certain baryonic particles in the theory can have arbitrarily small masses. Okay. Okay, so given this spectral curve, which is a Riemann surface, there's also a very precise way to associate, let's say, geometrical quantities, the periods of a certain one form on the spectral curve, to physical quantities. For example, essentially the vacuum expectation value of the global superfield S, and the derivative of this F0 respect to SL, which are things that you need to know if you want to actually calculate this effective superpotential exactly.
Or the index at minus one.
So essentially, here I'm assuming, I'm assuming that this, the W prime is a polynomial order M, and essentially, the deformation can be only a polynomial order n minus 1, up to order n minus 1. Okay. It's important to know for later purposes that, that this spectral curve is actually part of a full three-dimensional Calabi-Yau manifold. And this Calabi-Yau geometry, you can actually write down the equation for it. Given the spectral curve, you simply add some quadratic some variables, and you have some squares. Okay. And so in this Calabi-Yau geometry, you're actually in effect to be string theory in that Calabi-Yau. There are also non-trivial Ramond-Ramond and Neville Schwarz fluxes, which know essentially about, for example, the rank of your gauge groups and essentially these integers vi that know about what kind of in which vacuum of each SUM subgroup you are. Okay. These integers vi know essentially about the phase of your group Guarino condensate. Okay, so in this geometry there are these three forms, these generalized Ramond-Ramond fluxes and the Neville-Schwarz fluxes. The effective potential can be rewritten as this six-dimensional integral where the omega is the holomorphic 3,0 form of the Calabi-Yau. And all of these forms descend to certain one forms on the spectral curve. So you can do calculations using simply the matrix model and forgetting about the Calabi-Yau, the underlying Calabi-Yau. But essentially, to understand what the string dual is, in particular the non-critical string dual is, you have to keep in mind the fact that there is an underlying Calabi-Yau. So the singularity of the spectral curve will map, which means there are some vanishing one cycles on the spectral curve, will map to a singularity of the Calabi-Yau, which means a certain three cycles will actually shrink to zero size. And Okay, so the massless Dibarians actually correspond to certain D3 brain states that you could think of wrapping around these three cycles. And essentially, their mass is proportional to the holomorphic volume of the three cycle that can go to zero. Okay, and I was giving you an example. The kind of singularity that I'll be looking at is one where essentially M branch points of the spectral curve can collide, can coincide. So I give you before the example for M equal to 3. Okay. So how do we study the large N limit? So given the F-term effective action, you can actually evaluate exactly all these F-term couplings between the low energy degrees of freedom of the theory, which are essentially the components of the global superfields, and essentially these abelian field strengths and the fermionic components. And that's precisely what I'm going to do. Once I know the form of the spectral, the exact form of the spectral curve that corresponds to a certain vacuum, I can study the couplings between the F-term couplings between the low energy degrees of freedom. Essentially, you do an expansion of these terms. And here is for example, an expansion of this guy here in terms of components. And so you can identify, for example, three-point couplings between three of these global superfields, let's say, and so on and so forth. So here I'm focusing on this L-point vertex and on this mass matrix. So keep in mind that I can only calculate exactly F terms. I do not have control over, for example, the kinetic terms of these fields. Okay, these are B terms which are outside my calculational reach. But I will be able to calculate this thing exactly, and this will be important for my thing later. So let's study how these objects, this coupling scale in the large N limit. Okay. So as I said, to do a proper large N top limit, I have to scale the overall coupling of the superpotential to go like N, and the couplings inside to be over the one. It's easy to see that in this limit, the L point couplings will go like N to the 2 minus L. And this mass matrix it will be of order 1. So this is as it should be, because essentially we know that, for example, from the 2-point coupling, the 2-point coupling goes like is of order 1 in the large N limit. This is tantamount to saying that the mass of the Grubel state is of order 1 in the large N limit, whereas their interactions is essentially weighted by 1 over n, G-string going like 1 over n. For example, the 3-point coupling indeed scales like 1 over n, as it should. This is ordinary Toft scaling. So as I said, I will be looking at singularities of this kind and branch points colliding. And you can see that indeed this coupling, here I'm forgetting about the index structure, I'm simply saying simply looking at the generic scaling of this coupling, will indeed go like 1 over n, but as I approach the singularity, it will actually explode. So this is a breakdown of the 1 over n expansion, simply due to the fact that I'm looking at certain vacua where there are extra degrees of freedom that become massless, extra baryonic states that can become massless. Okay. However, this singularity is quite specific. It's very, very special. As we see, this essentially, this 3-point coupling, for example, scales like this. There is this specific power of delta appearing. And the same thing will be true, for example, for the quartic coupling. The quartic coupling will scale like this thing to the square, okay, squared, and so on and so forth. So due to this, and you can show, and you can prove this analytically, essentially, this shows you that it's interesting to define a double scaling limit where you send n to infinity and delta to zero, keeping this combination fixed. This physically means you're keeping the mass of these states that want to become light fixed. Okay. So very well. What are the characteristics? What features does this large N double scaling limit have? Okay. You can perform an electric magnetic duality of the essentially the low energy degrees of freedom. Remember, we have some photons around. which means from a geometrical point of view, you rearrange your choice of basis for the spectral curve. And what happens is that the Hilbert space of the theory splits into two sectors. And you can show that one sector has, let's say, usual Toft's behavior, which is, let's say, an interesting behavior in the sense that the mutual couplings of this sector go like 1 over n, okay, while the other sector instead has couplings which are not weighted simply by 1 over n, but by this 1 over n effective, essentially. You see the double scaling parameter appearing again. And it, of course, it's very important that there are also mutual, in principle, mutual interactions between these two sectors, but in the large n double scaling limit, these mutual interactions also go to 0 because they still scale like 1 over n. So you can also show, and this will be important for us later, that the spectrum and interactions of this more interesting sector essentially are consistent with an enhancement of supersymmetry to n equal to 2. Okay, so you can show, for example, that the n equal to 1 effective superpotential for this sector vanishes. Things of this kind. You can also show that the so-called mass matrix that I was looking at before develops a certain number of vanishing eigenvalues. So a certain number of global superfields become massless in such a way, precisely in such a way that you can complete, let's say, the n equal to 1 abelian superfields to n equal to 2 abelian superfields and precisely the right number. So you get there is consistency with enhancement to n equal to 2. This is not a proof because I cannot really calculate the D terms for this group of superfields or the group of superfields. Okay, so this is indeed, we see that it's good for me, for my purposes, but it's indeed a bit of a puzzle because at the beginning you start with this Calabi-Yau geometry, which has lots and very large Ramondremont fluxes. Okay, these Ramondremont fluxes have to be there. Okay. So, and we try to understand actually what's the kind of heuristic picture that we have. Why can this happen? So I'll show at this point the other picture that I prepared. Okay. So the idea is that in this singular limit, in this double scaling limit, you are considering a part of the spectral curve. This is a picture, let's say, of the full spectral curve of the matrix model, okay, which is non-trivial. It's a hyper-elliptic curve. It's a sort of generalized donut. It's not simply an elliptical curve. There is the genus is higher, okay. So a part of this curve goes to zero volume, okay. But in the double scaling limit, this is effectively equivalent to keeping the size of this singular part fixed, okay. But what happens is that essentially the distance between these two parts of the spectral curve becomes increasingly bigger. Okay, bigger and bigger in the double scaling limit. And indeed, it's true that there are non-trivial Ramondremont fluxes in this part of the geometry, and you can check that there is no flux here. You can do this exactly because you know how the generalized Ramondremont free form of the type 2B geometry goes down to the matrix model, to a matrix model 1 form, and you can calculate the periods of this matrix model 1 form exactly. So you know there is no Ramondremont flux here, which is good. After all, we want to send the geometry to vanishing size. There better be no flux there. But so the heuristic picture is that there is non-trivial flux here, but since these two guys become more and more distance as you take this large n double scaling limit, essentially what breaks n equal to 2 to n equal to 1, which is this Ramondremont flux, essentially disappears here. So this guy can have n equal to 2 interactions. Okay. Okay. We also studied more generic examples of these double scaling limits where there is no enhancement to n equal to 2. So this enhancement to n equal to 2 is quite, of course, special. Okay, so how does the non-critical superstring dual actually emerge? So as I said before, it is very important for us to keep in mind that this string theory actually lives in a certain Calabi-Yau, which has, in general, non-trivial Ramond-Ramond fluxes. It's a complicated geometry, and so on and so forth. However, by the very nature of the double scaling limit is such that I'm looking at certain singularities of this Calabi-Yau geometry. And it is essentially, the bottom line is that superstring theory close to certain to specific Calabi-Yau singularities is believed to have an uncritical superstring description. So before to understand this, let's consider this situation. So let's take Calabi-Yau type 2B string theory with no fluxes whatsoever, close to a certain singularity of this kind, which is the singularity would be mu equal to zero, and you can recognize that this is essentially the same sort of spectral curve singularity that I was looking at. Okay, when mu equal to zero, if you wish, I have m branch points of the spectral curve, y squared plus x to the m equal to zero colliding. Okay. So it is believed that due to the fact that you can take some solitonic V3 brain states wrapping three cycles, and that these three cycles can be shrinking, and these states can become massless, it is believed that essentially, string perturbation theory has to break down in this situation. It is also believed that the target space is essentially equivalent to having a throat with a linear dilaton. This throat is infinite, which means that even though at one side of the throat I can have small string coupling, if I travel far enough down, string coupling would eventually diverge. Okay. But people have studied this situation, precisely this situation, this mu equal to zero situation, and said, okay, still, if I take this asymptotic G0 string coupling to zero, I can see that the states localized at the singularity will eventually decouple, will decouple from the bulk states that live in the dilaton throat. So in particular, the states localized at the singularity will not be 10-dimensional states, will be really 4-dimensional states. And what I'm going to get is an uncritical 4-dimensional string theory without gravity because of the decoupling from the bulk. And people dub this string theory little string theory. You may be more familiar with another realization of little string theory, which corresponds to the theory of NS5 brains, living on NS5 brains. Okay. So it is believed that this little string theory, even though it is a string theory, there is duality and so on and so forth, in the low energy limit is equivalent to some 4-dimensional theory. There is n equal to 2 supersymmetry, and you're close to some singularity, so you're close to some Ergaris-Laglace superconformative theory. Okay. So people have proposed, Aharoni, Givon, Kutasov, Seibert, have proposed that this little string theory has a holographic dual description given in terms by precisely this type 2B in a certain linear dilaton throat. Of course, this has problems because, as I said before, the string coupling diverges, but Givon and Kutasov precisely modified this little string theory limit, not simply by taking G0 to 0 and mu to 0 independently, but by considering a limit where you take this combination fixed, and you will realize that this double scaling limit corresponds to keeping the masses of these D3 brain states fixed. You see that this guy scales like 1 over G0, which is precisely how the mass of the D3 brain states should scale, and so on and so forth. You can show that then in this limit, the perturbation theory of the string theory will be weighted not by G0, but by kappa at this point. Okay. And if mu is the geometrical parameter that appears in the Calabi-Yau. If mu equal to zero, you're at singularity. So it's like a deformation parameter. Okay. And they did more than that. They proposed, okay, that this double scale little string theory has a holographic description, which is now given in terms of this non-critical background. Why is this well behaved at this point? So I said that there is still a linear dilaton profile here. But the fact is that this is geometrically a cigar, a pinched cigar. So you take this dilaton throat, which you can think of as a cylinder, and then you pinch the cylinder. This means that the dilaton can indeed grow far down the throat, but at some point this growth will stop because you're actually cutting the space. You do this in a non-singular way. So this, essentially the cure to the problem is given by you have a semi-infinite cigar geometry. Okay, very good. And they proposed, Givon and Kutasov et al. Proposed that the double scaling limit of this Littlesen theory has a dual description in terms of that non-critical background. So you can see where I'm trying to go. I will propose that essentially the double scale Littlesen theory and the large N double scaling limit of these field theory models that I'm looking at will essentially map to each other, in the sense that I will propose that the essentially the massless degrees of freedom of the double scale Littlesen theory correspond, you can show that they correspond to the massless degrees of freedom of my large N double scale theory, of course not to the whole degrees of freedom of the field theory model that I started with, but only to those degrees of freedom that keep interesting dynamics in the large N double scaling limit. Okay. Which, as you wish, I mean, which you could visualize as saying that it is the double scale, the degrees of freedom that live close to this singular part of the geometry. Okay, which indeed correspond to the localized four-dimensional double scale Littlesen theory modes. Okay. So this is. Okay, so even though we recognize that, so what are the consistency checks of this proposal? We know that double scale Littlesen theory has to have n equal to 2 SUSY because there is no flux to start with. So it was, for us, it was an important point to try to prove that even though I start from an n equal to 1 model, indeed the dynamics of a certain sector of the theory has enhancement to n equal to 2, and what we could do is what I told you essentially. We showed that the massless spectrum of this n equal to 1 model could be reorganized in n equal to 2 vector multiplets, abelian vector multiplets. We showed that the superpotential of these modes is actually vanishing, which has to be if you want to have n equal to 2. And essentially, at the end of the day, if this is true, it means that the F-term interactions, the full interactions, B-term and F-term interactions of this n equal to 2, let's say, field theory modes would simply be given at this point by, if you wish, the Cyber-Witten curve, by taking a Cyber-Witten curve which corresponds to this spectral curve of the matrix model close to the singularity. Okay, so we take this this fact as strong evidence that indeed there is enhancement to n equal to 2 for a sector of the large N double scale theory, and then that this story could be possibly true. Okay, so this is a sort of, well, I mean, actually, we don't want to talk about this too much, but you can study the, it's interesting, as I said before at the beginning, that these matrix models, the double scale, the large N double scale limit, double scaling limit of the field theory corresponds actually to a matrix model double scaling limit, which is completely analogous to the same sort of matrix model double scaling limits that people were considering when they studied C less than 1 non-critical strings. And well, you can show that essentially, you can actually show, as it should, that the higher genus free energies of these matrix models scale essentially in the right way, like double scaling parameter to the 2 minus 2g. Times some number, which is non-exploding. You can argue actually that this, so you have a matrix model double scaling limit, you know that this has to be dual to some C less than 1 string. What could this possibly be? It has to be the topological twist of the non-critical superstring background that I was talking about. Okay, but summary. So what have I tried to argue today? I was essentially trying to argue for a novel example of duality between a gauge system in the large N limit and a non-trivial superstring background. What are the nice features of this duality? The fact is that, as I was saying, these non-critical backgrounds are actually thought to be exactly solvable in alpha prime. So this means that you know how to let's say, find all the correlation functions of the world sheet theory, of this world sheet theory. This is quite non-trivial because, as I said before, this this well-shift theory corresponds to a geometry, which is non-compact. There is a linear dilaton, which is also a complication, but the geometry is non-compact. And essentially, technical results that allow you to actually deal with these situations are quite relatively recent. But so it is believed that these guys indeed are exactly solvable in alpha prime. So we can go beyond this supergravity approximation. And in particular, also, there is no Ramond-Ramond flux. OK, as I said, these Lagrange double scaling limits map to matrix model double scaling limits of this auxiliary Lagrange-Waffa matrix model. OK, you could also define Lagrange double scaling limits, as I said, where there is no supersymmetry enhancement. In this case, actually, there is no, I think there is no simple dual string background. There is, I mean, you can't simply find that nice situation where you simply had this sort of nice background. So you live in four dimensions, that's fine. You have this semi-infinite cigar, and then some Landau-Ginzburg or minimal model that essentially knows about what kind of the more details of the geometric singularity. So when you don't have supersymmetry enhancement, you don't have such a simple situation. And this is actually an open question. What is the dual of the Lagrange double scaling limits where there is no supersymmetry enhancement? It's, there is a complication due to the fact that you don't have this simple, as I said before, picture where you have this semi-infinite cigar coupled to a minimal model. And there might be actually also some non-trivial Ramond-Ramond flux remaining, even close to the singularity. And I don't know how to deal with that. So what are some other open problems are, for example, one could take this thing seriously and try to perform a sort of spectroscopic analysis. So we have pretty good control over the field theory side. We can calculate all these F terms exactly given the matrix model. And if we believe the duality to be true, we can calculate also the D terms because we have n equal to 2 supersymmetry. So one could actually check that by doing calculations on the non-critical string side, one can reproduce all the couplings of the field theory in the Lagrange double scaling limit. So this would be a non-trivial problem. And then there are some other technical questions regarding, can you actually show, for example, that this free energy, how does it scale for large G? Can you show that this, it is believed that this perturbative series for the topological string is not convergent, and this is precisely due to the presence of some non-perturbative Dibbern effects. Can you actually calculate these guys exactly? And this is all complicated because you cannot apply the matrix model techniques of the old days simply because the singular, the leftover, let's say, spectral curve is not genus zero. It has higher genus. So you cannot apply like orthogonal polynomial techniques or stuff like that. So all this analysis, we were able to show, for example, that FG scales in the right way by using some recent results of Bertrand Reynard, who showed that you can use the loop equation of the matrix model to find the full solution, order by order in G. OK, so another non-trivial check would be to actually check explicitly that the topological twist of the non-critical superstring background indeed is dual to this matrix model in the double scaling limit. And that would be, as I said, since it's an F-term check, it would be a topological check of this dual. So I think I'll stop here. Thanks a lot.
So you didn't say explicitly in the talk, but implicitly on the same slide that you showed. We have this symmetric split of fields which only work for part M. So what happens if M is even?
I was considering you can do calculations both for even M and odd M. Yes. It just there's a minor tweak that you have to do. It's related to there's no conceptual difference. Yeah. I just want and even just for M also for clarity.
More questions? Okay, then let's thank the speaker again.